We're doing the Doshot Aran. We're up to page Kuf Mem Aleph in the Shalem edition, Shin Chaf Zayin, in the Mosad Rav Kook edition. And because what we saw earlier, that there is the capacity for things to affect a person. Remember, we said in the previous paragraph, we said that being that the constellations affect us down below, yes, so then it's understandable that they'll also affect a person's personality, because if the constellations will cause a person to be more hot-blooded, etc., so then it could also affect his personality. Remember, because through our physical body we are affected, we are predisposed, not predetermined. You guys remember, you know what I'm talking about? If a person is born under Ma'adim, it said he will spill blood. And Rava says, I was born under Ma'adim, and Abai tells him, right, and you're also the guy who punishes people in court. So you see, he was born under that star. He had a way, he had a predisposition, but he could channel it. Now we go back to the original topic. That's why the verse says, Vayishma Moshe, Vayishma Moshe Anav Meod, Vayishma Hashem. God hears Aaron and Miriam speaking about Moshe. Moshe, who is very humble, hears as well. Ratza, what the verse is indicating is, Shekol ma shechal al Miriam min ha'onesh lo haya mitzad hana'at nefesh Moshe klal. When Miriam was punished, she was not punished because Moshe was affected. Moshe hears the way she speaks about him, and he is unimpressed. He is unmoved because he is so humble. So why is Miriam punished? The pasuk is stressing Va'ish Moshe Anav Meod. It was not because Moshe had an issue with Miriam. He was so humble. Aval mitzad she'Hashem itbarach kina lichvodo shel Moshe. It was God who was zealous in the name of Moshe's honor. Kshenidabru bo v'yishvu nevuatam l'nevuato. They spoke of Moshe. They equated their prophecy with his. Bomram, when they said, "Harakach b'Moshe diber Hashem alo gam banu diber Moshe and Aaron and Miriam were talking to one another," and they said, "Wait a second! God spoke to us too. God didn't speak to Moshe alone. We also have had prophecy, and we didn't leave our wives. Why is he leaving his wife?" V'odiyam Hashem itbarach shenaydian k'moshe chashvu. So God let them know that things were not the way they thought. There's a huge difference between Moshe's prophecy and theirs. And that's what God answers them. God says, listen please to what I'm telling you. If one of you will have prophecy, if there's a prophet like one of you, Hashem appears to him in a dream, in a vision. Moshe's not that way. Ratzah, what the pasuk is indicating is, Shem Yenevi Am Misheyeh. God was saying, if there'll be any prophet, Aaron, Miriam, or anyone else, Lo Tagei Malato B'Nevuakim Le'achad Mishnei Dochim, he can only attain a level of prophecy in one of two ways. Im Sheitnabe B'Chalom, Asher Inyano Yadua, he can have a prophetic vision through a dream, meaning a person falls asleep, and then he has a prophetic vision, or else he can have a vision. What is that? That's the equivalent of a person fainting. It's not sleep, it's not like a dream, but all of a person's facets shut down, and suddenly the only thing that remains is his thought.
Was it someone else?
I don't remember Yeshaya fainting. Bilam says he was nofel, he'd fall on his face when he had prophecy. Our sages say that Avraham Avinu would fall on his face when he had prophecy.
Bow down?
It means they would lie down. They didn't fall down and break their teeth, but they would suddenly lie down, and the equivalent of fainting. Suddenly they were out. Avlainyan b'Moshe einochin. But when it comes to Moshe, his visions were not like that. Look, he makes it very simple. He says, "Yevutlu kochot anavi, the strength all other facets of the Navi are annulled, and only his thought remains. I translated that to mean like fainting. I'm not sure if you have to translate it that way, because if you translate it that way, then he's arguing with other Rishonim. There are other Rishonim that write, from the earlier commentaries, they write that the Navi would lose control of his physical capacities. So he would start acting like a madman. Like we find King Saul gets undressed. We find that the Navi Yonah is called the madman. They'd call the Navi the man who's insane. That's how they'd call a prophet, because they behaved that way. So that's...
Wait a second.
So let me just finish the idea, and then we'll take questions. So when the Ran says that his strengths, all other strengths, are annulled, I translated that literally to mean that he just lies down and faints. But it could be that he's not arguing with the other commentaries. He just means the Navi loses control. Whether he lies down or he acts in a crazy manner, either understanding could be indicated by his words. He loses control of his strengths. I'm not sure. The term his strengths are annulled can mean he fainted, or it could mean he loses control over them, but that doesn't mean he necessarily faints. Now, what I'm trying to achieve is that the Ran won't be disagreeing with other Rishonim or the verses that seem to indicate that Nevi'im, like King Saul, or like King Saul's men, would attain prophecy and remain awake. We do find Nevi'im who were awake and attained prophecy. So maybe that's how we have to translate the word Yevutal, that the strengths are annulled. It means his control of his strengths is annulled. Yes, Ari.
Most of the question was answered, but could it... I had an idea, before you described that other people indicate that there was an act of insanity that came with, I guess, this symptom, as a symptom of attaining prophecy, if that's what it was that you're talking about. I'm not sure if I fully understand. But could it be that this loss of control of oneself is not necessarily that he's acting insane, but just that he's in such a deep trance of the prophetic vision that he's under, that he's experiencing, that he is not himself, that he could be in, maybe someone could be in like a kind of a transcendental meditation for hours where his eyes are just open and he's just kind of like frozen, or someone could be like as if he's in a coma for a day or something, just getting the prophecy. And we know it's not something like that, where he's not himself, or you said it sounded like the Ran is saying that he fainted. How do we know that it isn't that he's in, a meditative trance?
Agreed. Could be. Agreed. Agreed. Just a second. Yeah.
So, you were saying that they kind of act a little bit funky, and it's called the madman and everything.
Meshuga. That's the term the Navi uses. Meshuga.
Throughout a lot of Nach, there are a lot of prophecies about, the Jews sinning, and they need to repent. I always thought that they were, a credible... Well, I'm not saying they're not credible, but when they act like a madman, that takes away a certain amount of credibility from them. So, when they need to inform people and teach people, why did God make it in a way that they lose credibility?
I'm going to try in 3 minutes to answer that question. If we see it takes longer than that, so then we'll have to relegate it for Thursday night, okay? I'll tell you a story. True story. A friend of mine needed an operation, and the top doctor who can operate is one of the most arrogant people you can meet. They walked into the meeting. I accompanied them. They asked the doctor, "Good morning, doctor. How are you?" And the doctor says, "Good morning. It's none of your business." So that sounds funny. sounds funny, but you got to deal with this guy. And he's willing to, you know, the guy's lying in bed. He's just had who knows what. Whatever. It wasn't so comfortable dealing with him. He said something which none of us understood. He was giving them directions at the discharge. So we asked the question, and his answer was, I answered that. And we all felt like we didn't understand. And these are the instructions the guy's supposed to live by. You know, what foods is he allowed to eat? So, and he says, I answered that. And then you have to plead, like, I know you answered that, but we didn't understand. Does soup fall under that category? Does tea fall under that category? Where do you draw the line? So not an easy person to deal with. But if he's the top doctor, he's the top doctor. You can't argue. At the end of the day, his success rate on this operation is 98%, and other doctors are 35%. So you swallow it and you say, fine, he's the top doctor, right?
He's not my father.
Right? Like I mentioned to them, I said, you know, I wonder if anyone could be married to him. They said, you're right, he's already divorced, then divorced, then divorced. And like, yeah, okay, what can I say? Fine, the guy is very difficult to talk to, but fine. My point is sometimes you need someone and you see that they're good at it, so then if there are prices on the side, it doesn't take away from how good they are, right? So the same is true with the Prophet. I don't think anyone felt that the Prophet was less credible when they understood that prophecy involved, call it entering trance mode, call it entering insane mode. Bottom line, your assumption that their credibility was hurt doesn't seem to be that way. When you read through the prophets, you see, on the contrary, they were always on the mark 100%, not even the 95%. You had all kinds of soothsayers that were on the mark 60%, and they were always on the mark. So then their credibility wasn't hurt by it. Now, you understand, I addressed the question by taking away the presumption that bore the question. You could still ask, well, then why did God do it this way? That's a separate discussion. But to say God did it in a way that took away from their credibility does not seem to be the case throughout. You see Bilam. He says, Nofelu gluyinayim. He says he would fall on his face as he was having prophecy.
But there were fakers, right?
There were definitely fakers, and that was the job of the high court, to interview anyone who was going to give prophecy and then give them license if they were validated.
You talked about that. It was very great. It's controversial, you say. Not everyone took a license. You needed the stamp of approval before you. But it's a great thing. Wait, you finished, but I have one question.
Yeah.
You know, another example, we have to quite dignify necessarily the truth. I mean, they say Rabbi Akiva davened a little wild, and Shaul was dancing, and he wasn't dignified, and he got his wife pregnant.
David, yeah.
So that was one thing. Abraham, I thought, was another person who had prophecy that you said was not in the trance scene when we talked.
Abraham, before his circumcision, could not accept prophecy without falling.
And the other thing you mentioned, I just thought of it, you were saying, you know, this Christian concept of speaking in tongues maybe comes from that. You know, we get a lot of it when you're giving them a spirit of the Lord or it takes you out of it. Or the concept. It's in novels and stuff, you know. And I went to the holy preacher, and he went into this, you know, trance. Could have been a faker, but the bottom line is this idea that it's not so bizarre that just because someone acts in a consciousness that's not day to day, but then it's automatically a fraud. When you said backed up in Miriam and Aaron.
Yeah, sorry.
No, I just. People on the level of Miriam and Aaron who. God was protecting Moses' honor, and they maybe would say, look, what kind of example is this for other men to follow? If I'm so holy, I don't want to go back to my family. And I wonder why they just didn't ask Moses. Because they still had access to him, right? Even though he wasn't.
They were about to talk to him. But first they had a conversation between themselves,
okay,
as the big siblings, to come and talk to him. And God came and said, what are you guys doing?
Okay.
I have to tell you, ever since we've been studying this, this is already going on a few months, right, that we're studying this speech, I keep catching myself and wondering, wait a second, Aaron and Miriam were two pious people speaking with the intent to help Moshe, and yet look at how God held them to an accounting. And there are so many times that people come in and want to talk to you for someone's benefit, right? And you have to really think it through. Wait a second, if God held Aaron and Miriam accountable for a conversation which they also meant to ultimately benefit Moshe and the people of Israel, and yet God says, well, wait a second, what are you doing talking this way about the person? So you really got to give it a lot of thought. That's what the Chafetz Chaim stresses, is the commandment to remember what happened to Miriam. Because if we actually think about it, it's a very scary thought, and it would help us control our own tongues. אבל העניין במשה אינו כן קיפל פה הדבר בו. When it comes to Moshe, it's completely different. God speaks to him directly. כאשר ידבר של ראהו. Like one would talk to their friend. They're in full capacity. They're focused. והעניינים אלה צריכים ביור ארוך, אלא שהקצר בזה מפני התורה. In truth, I need to explain this at length, he says, but it's too tough, so I'm going to keep it short. And now he's going to explain what's really unique about Moshe's prophecy. Should we continue or pause here for this week?
Either way.
Pause.